Hey, Courtney, it's me, Michelle, with TMW's...
Michelle Zines is welcomed every few weeks into the apartment of Courtney Banks in Chicago's Kenwood neighborhood.
Okay. And so today, Courtney, we're on home visit 6. And so today is probably one of my favorite modules. I know I say that a lot, but it really is one of my favorite ones. And I think
she opens a laptop computer while Courtney's 18-month-old son, Rashawn Wright, squirms and flops on his mother's lap. He's the youngest of her 5 children. Michelle Zines is here to help Courtney Banks talk to her son to build the little boy's brain. She's part of a project called the 30 Million Words Initiative, developed at the University of Chicago, after researchers found that children in poor households often hear fewer words spoken to them than youngsters in more comfortable families. 30 million fewer words by the age of 3. And the kids who start behind can stay behind once they get to school, contributing to a growing achievement gap between poor and better-off students. Michelle Zines begins with questions that try to discover the words the little boy may hear from his mother.
What kind of books were you guys reading?
We actually went to the library. We sat down and we did, like, the pop-up books and animal books.
That's great. And we could talk about how we can...
When you trace it all back, really the fundamental thing that grows human brains in the first 3 years of life is parent talk and interaction. And there's no way around it.
Dana Suskind is a pediatric surgeon at the University of Chicago Hospital. She founded the 30 Million Words Initiative and has just published a book by the same title. Dr. Suskind conducted close to 200 surgeries to install cochlear implants in the ears of children to help them hear. Over the years, she came to see firsthand, in the operating room and x-rays, that hearing words vitalizes the brains of infants.
So the language comes in, you get these neural connections building the sort of architecture of the brain. It's really the foundation for all thinking and learning. You know, I always say that language is the nutrition for the developing brain. So
it's not just a matter of expanding their vocabulary, which will ultimately be conceivably good for education. It's actually building the brain that we need to tie our shoelaces.
Absolutely. I mean, it's the first 3 years of life or first 5 years of life and the language interaction that helps build all of those skills.
Yeah. Do you have a sense we're missing out on some of this? Because in so many families, there are two parents or often not two parents working a multiplicity of jobs and there's just less time.
It is a complex situation. And certainly families who live in poverty, there are so many stressors that impact a parent's ability to, you know, interact with their children. Generally, families from lower income backgrounds, the science shows, don't interact as much. But I think that understanding the science allows us to understand why we need social policies that support families in having time with their children, parental leave. Those issues are important for helping close the achievement gap.
I don't have to tell you, there's some criticism of this, you understand, and the implications of it. There are people who've written who've said that this isn't understanding the kind of communication that goes on anyway and doesn't quite understand the other kind of relationships there can be between parents or parent figures and children.
My response is that keeping the science away from people, I would not consider an ethical thing. And what's interesting is that everything we do in partnership with parents. Literally, the program that you saw being implemented wasn't actually a bunch of U of C academics creating it. It was created in partnership with parents. The beauty of the science is that it really demonstrates how powerful parents are, right? It's not skipping around parents who I have never met a parent. No socioeconomic group has cornered the market on wanting their children to be happy and successful.
Rashawn's mother, Courtney Banks, says she looks forward to the visits.
I've learned a lot in the few weeks that I have been doing this and kind of keeping their behaviors under control. And I actually see my youngest kids learning from this experience.
Still, 5 healthy children are rarely under control at the same time.
Just to give you a snippet, I think you're going to be super excited to see your Lena report, too. It was.
Stop before you knock it down. Stop. Get off. Let go.
We went along on a home study. There were some moments, I don't mind telling you, I think I can say this to your face, that were like out of a Saturday Night Live routine, because you have the Ernest University of Chicago academics who are, you know, trying to get the, you know, the child to look at something and the parent to follow something, and the little baby squirming on the lap, and you've got three other kids in other parts of the apartment who were trying to tear something apart, and at one point the lamp goes over. I mean, you know, life.
This is real life. You know, I always say we're looking to not only impact the individual parent, yeah, but our ultimate goal is a population level shift, where this idea isn't about a bunch of University of Chicago academics allowing parents to understand this, but that this becomes part of the groundwater, right? And it doesn't happen on one home visit. It doesn't happen with one intervention. It happens when an idea takes hold in a population.
Yeah, and in this case, that would be parents beginning to understand the words they utter to their children have lasting impact.
Yeah. Who knew that something that looks so throwaway could be so incredibly powerful?
Dr. Dana Suskin of the University of Chicago, her book, 30 Million Words, Building a Child's Brain. Tune in, talk more, take turns. Thanks.
Thank you.